Welcome back to Radio Entrepreneurs. I'm your host, Toby Stapleton. I'm the director of the UMass Dartmouth Center for Innovation and Entrepreneurship. Radio Entrepreneurs is a show about entrepreneurs and the organizations that support them, so it is great to be able to feature one of our entrepreneurs who's located here at the Center for Innovation and Entrepreneurship, Jim O'Neill from O'Neill Power Systems. Jim, welcome back to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me back.
So, Jim, you're a company that is developing a power system for a vertical takeoff drone. Is that a good way to characterize that?
Yeah, let me see if I can shorten the long story and say what it does. It gives you a power system that allows a helicopter to have two main lifting rotors going in opposite directions. For your gearheads out there, you already, that gets rid of the tail rotor. In addition to that, it gives you the reduction from the piston speed to the rotor speed, and to cap it all off, you can put cylinders on the outside, so you've got one unitized system that can basically pick up anything you want to pick up.
So it allows you to pick up, you know, when we think of drones, when consumers think of drones, we think of, you know, battery-powered radio-controlled drones that you see flying around the malls that have very little lift capacity. What you're talking about is a 500, possibly 1,000-pound lift capacity that would be used in applications like defense, agriculture, and other applications.
Yes, and I'm glad you mentioned defense. Just recently, we were getting serious interest from the Department of Defense to get a what I'm going to call a cargo delivery system. And that is not going to be electric. It's not going to be short-lived or the small cargo. Their goal is to lift 1,000 pounds to troops that need things all the way from lunch to combat necessities to sustain a battle. We've had good meetings with the folks in the Department of Defense, and with a little luck and all the help from Toby, we hope to get funded to develop just the kind of a machine that Toby's talking about.
So, Jim, let's take a step back and tell our listeners you're developing an engine system. What's your background?
Really, a want-to-be inventor, machinist. Spent a little time at Wentworth, quick study, one semester, and that was enough. I really learned what I was doing in the Army, not a part of the war in Vietnam, but certainly a part of the military at that time, learning of the real problems a tail rotor causes. It's stuck there in the jungle, and once you take out the tail rotor, everybody off, you're not going anywhere. If it fails while you're flying, it's an awful way to be in a crash. Based on that, I always had it noodle around the back of my mind. I had time, I wouldn't say to kill, but I had time to really think about it. I had an idea, got a patent on it, and upon leaving my business behind and retiring, as you can see, I'm at the right age, I decided to see if I could make it fly. And with Toby's help here at the CIE, we're moving along that direction.
But it's great. You know, the story is great. And you've gotten some recognition in addition to the patent. And you're now on your third iteration of the prototype. Mm-hmm. But you've also gotten some notoriety. Popular Science magazine wrote you up as one of the inventors to watch. And it was Popular Science, right?
Yes, Popular Science 2012-13.
Right, did a spread on the Nor'easter, which is the engine system. But your story about how you took this from idea to now actually having a working prototype where you are getting interest from the Department of Defense and getting some interest from potential commercial end users is a good one for the budding entrepreneur in the audience.
Yeah, let me. I'll go through that as quickly as I can. I made drawings myself, made a patent, borrowed my friend's Bridgeport and South Bend lathe, put them into my mother's barn more years ago than I'd like to talk about, and put an engine together that had weed whacker heads. It didn't run very well, so we moved ahead to a place in New Hampshire that lent me some skill and a bigger casting and a bigger motor that was four-stroke, two cylinders that ran pretty well. But there's no exposure there to get the kind of help that Toby can provide. So now we moved on to a very good machine shop in Middleborough, AMI, and they put me in their tool-room cage. So I'm kept in a cage for a while, moved ahead to a very good running motor, then came down here to Toby's facility, and I have been here for a while, and got the access to a machine shop. Bright young people, my intern, Corey Torpin, will be a mechanical engineering graduate in the spring, and I certainly hope to have enough money to hire him. And if we continue the interest at the Department of Defense, we're going to try hard to see why not Fall River manufacturing motors.
But I do think, you know, when you look at the region, one of the things that we have a strength in is the access to the workforce of people that are used to building things. We still have a manufacturing base here in the region, including Rhode Island, that that we benefit from, as opposed to some other regions of the state that don't have the manufacturing workforce or the readily accessible workforce. But I think the other thing is, you know, your point about an incubator. This is one of the things that an incubator, particularly us, but the incubators that are here within the state provide is the physical space and then the access to resources. Most of the companies that are here are like you, Jim, building a product and trying to get a prototype or a version of a prototype off the ground, literally off the ground in your case. But we provide them the support. But you also benefit from the fact that you've got other entrepreneurs that you talk to on a daily basis. The coffee maker that we have here has been a great investment, even though it's not a world-class coffee maker. It still generates the kind of conversations that are important to help entrepreneurs around the coffee machine.
Well, one of the things that came from the coffee machine is one of my old neighbors, Ocean Server, does the underwater vehicle exploration engineering kind of issues. And they have a problem in the small round, let's call it torpedo, being pushed at any kind of speed, I mean beyond 3 or 4 knots, the torque of the single blade rotates the submarine in the opposite direction.
Right.
So because of the coffee conversation, when Toby sponsors the end of November,
So the end of November this year, like every year, we host the Maritime Innovations Conference, which this year it's a 2-day event. Autonomy is the theme of the conference, but it will be a program sponsored by the Marine Technology Society, UMass Dartmouth, of course, but also the Marine Oceanographic Technology Network. And it's 2 days of programming around marine technology with a particular focus this year on autonomy.
So from the coffee maker talk, born and bred here at the CIE, we will have, good Lord willing, an operational little transmission that will generate counter-rotating propellers for these small submarines and then get them up to the 6 or 7 knots that they really should move at. And that all happened here.
That's great, Jim. So what's the future of O'Neill Power Systems?
O'Neill Power Systems is going to do its very best to get funded with your help to build power systems that go on the cargo delivery system that the military wants. And when you immediately say cargo delivery system, you really think Amazon, not military. So in a perfect world, we will produce a satisfactory machine, unmanned vertical takeoff, vertical landing, horizontal flight system to supply our combat troops, and then go up the street to find somebody at Amazon who might, and we know, they would be interested in that. And in an even more perfect world, we'll manufacture these here in Fall River.
That's great, Jim. And for the budding entrepreneur in the audience who might be tinkering in their barn or basement, what advice do you give them?
The problem with barn and basement inventions, they generally get thrown out a generation after the inventor has passed on, and the grandchildren say, "What's that?" "I don't know. Grandpa was fooling around with it, but it never got out of the cellar." "Oh, do you think we should bring it over to the Brockton VA?" "Sure, bring it over there. They'll like it." So if you really want to get out there with your idea, go with good, bright young engineers, best machinists I've ever worked with, and an ability to make this show and other contacts to really put some horsepower behind what your idea is, this is the place for you to be.
So get out of the barn, get out of the basement, go find help.
Amen. I'm still looking for help.
Well, thanks, Jim. It's a pleasure to have you back on Radio Entrepreneurs, and we look forward to catching up next time to see what kind of success you've taken the Nor'easter to.
All right. We'll make it fly.
All right. Thanks, Jim.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks. You've been listening to Radio Entrepreneurs with your host, Toby Stapleton, the director of the UMass Dartmouth Center for Innovation and Entrepreneurship.